Welcome everyone to the XCast X-Files Podwatch. This is episode 107 and we're here.
Woo!
It's the end. This is the end.
Yay.
I never thought I'd hear myself say that. It's the end.
This is the beginning.
What? Yeah. the very end of the XCast Podwatch. We've got here. We've done the entire X-Files back catalogue from the pilot all the way through to My Struggle 2. And maybe an appropriate title for this episode would be Our Struggle, which yes. maybe I'll call it. I'm Tony Black, obviously, the creator of the XCast, and I'm joined by two of my hosts throughout the Podwatch, Carl Sweeney.
Hello, Tony.
And Sarah Blair.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And in a special kind of take on this, we're joined for the first time by somebody who's been following the Podwatch, who's been on the XCast before, but who's been following the Podwatch as a listener. So, Paige Schechter, hello.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
So, we've got a nice little combination of people here. We've got people who've hosted loads, and I think, Carl, you probably get the award for most hosting gigs, I think, for the Podwatch.
Yay, Carl.
Woo!
Well done.
I'd just like to apologise to the listeners because I ended up doing way more than was originally planned, didn't I? So I've been on too many, really. But yeah, that sounds. I think I was on 30-odd, something like that. Something ridiculous.
Wow. That's pretty good. That's getting on for half of the recordings, really. And that doesn't necessarily take into account your guesting spots. You know, I think you've done 30-odd just as a host, which is impressive. And Sarah, you've done a few as well. Along the way, quite a few actually. I'd say you're well over 10. I would reckon.
Think I didn't count, but it was pretty decent amount. It was fun.
I didn't count either. I should have gone through and counted all the ones we've done. I think I'm definitely not like at the top of the recording list. I think like I did about 15. I think if that. I think Darren Mooney did quite a lot as well.
Yeah. He did. Yeah.
And
Chris Knowles.
Chris Knowles did a fair few. Yeah. There's quite a few people, and I think maybe at the end we'll try
Clara.
And thank everyone. Clara did loads, loads. So we'll go through and talk about all these people and everything as we go on. But this Podwatch is basically a big sort of finale episode. And you know what? Carl knows this, and the rest of you might as well. But originally the plan was that we thought that season 11 was going to be February, maybe even March, you know. And then, so we were like, yeah, okay, we've talked about doing like an XCast meetup in the UK and getting some of the UK, you know, recorders together. And, you know, who knows, we could have maybe even Skyped in people like Sarah and Paige and people from abroad, that kind of thing. So we're like, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that to end the Podwatch. And then Chris Carter, the bane of my life, decides to launch season 11 on January the 3rd, which meant obviously.
I don't know why he didn't consult you, Tony. Well,
I
doesn't
know.
Everybody know that, you know, we need to talk about these things?
Well, I mean, forget the Fox Network. I should have been the first call. Let's be honest.
It's
and,
true.
you know, so, yeah, it meant the whole Podwatch had to, you know, be sped up and escalated, which meant that. And I'll come clean. This today was supposed to be a special script recording of How the Ghost Stole Christmas for Christmas Day, and that was our original plan. And we all had parts to play. And Paige amazingly printed, put copies of the script up and everything like that. And we got it all set. And then I said, "Sorry, we can't have fun. We've got to talk about season 11."
That's not fun at all.
That's not fun. No fun. So we will do that next year. But it's obviously meant we've sped everything up, and now we're at the point where. For you, it's January the 2nd. For us, it's December the 3rd. So we're officially one whole month away now from the launch of Season 11. So this podcast, this final Podwatch, is going to be talking about the Podwatch in general, our experiences, what we thought, and we've got some listener feedback. And then we're going to talk about Season 11 and about how excited we are for all that. So let me open this up then to Paige, first and foremost, as the one person here who didn't guest on any of the Podwatches, in this case, but has listened to a lot of them so far, or a majority of them. Paige, how have you found this whole experience?
Well, let me just say first that I consider myself purity control, since I have not hosted or co-hosted a Podwatch. And I'm really not blowing smoke to say how incredible all of them have been. Everybody has worked so hard. It really shows in the product and in what you've done, and you've just done an amazing job. And I really noticed it even more when you had to kick it into high gear and do two a day. And then you see, you know, all the teams are working so well together. It doesn't matter if you agree or not. It doesn't matter if the episodes are dogs or not. Just, it really is a finely, well, I said on Facebook, I think, that it was a well black oiled machine.
That's very good.
I'm gonna stick with that.
That was I'm very impressed with that one. That was excellent. But, you know, thank you. That's really nice to hear. You know, and this podcast isn't just a big sort of, well done, everyone, sort of loving. Although, you know, I'm happy if that happens. But it is nice to hear that someone listened to the whole thing and has really got a lot out of the experience, which is great. What about you guys? Carl first. I mean, as we said, you've hosted probably the most of anybody. And I will thank you on social media for this, but I need to publicly thank you for the level of editing, for a start, that people don't see behind the scenes, but you've edited probably as many of these as I have, and I can honestly say, without you doing that, I don't think we'd have got to this point where we managed to release two a day for like a month. I just don't think it would have happened, so I want to thank you for the help you gave me in getting all of these edited, or a lot of them edited. So what do you think?
Well, thank you, Tony, first of all. You've made me feel like Dana Scully must have felt when Fox Mulder called her his touchstone in Sixth Extinction 2. So, thank you.
You
just
are.
No worries.
Stung by a bee.
I've really enjoyed the whole thing, to be honest. It's really hard to single anything out because, like, I think I've enjoyed every single recording, you know. And I think most of them made me look at something, whether it was an episode or a scene or a character, whatever, from like a new perspective. That's one of the things I really liked. And I mean, by the same token, though, it's really great when you're in like complete agreement with somebody on an episode. That's a really nice feeling too. And then I mean, I've been involved with a lot of them, but as a listener, it's been really cool to listen to the ones I've had like no input into as well. And I think what's fascinating is like hearing the different types of fans we've had contributing, you know. So we've running the whole gamut from like pro shipping, anti Chris Carter people to you know, real like mythology enthusiasts, and I just really like the blend, you know. I think everyone's had a valid point of view, everyone's had something interesting to say, and I think everyone's been worth hearing. So yeah, it's been a great mix. I've been really pleased to be involved too.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, I think that's really true. I think that the different angles, you know, because you can come at X-Files fandom from lots of different positions. So I think we've had a really broad cross-section of that. And Sarah, I think you probably represent the shipper contingent in a big way, don't you? Especially the Skinner. Especially anything Skinner-based.
So what's my specialty.
Your specialty, yeah. How have you found this whole experience?
It's been so fun to listen to the episodes, and to... My favorite part so far, I think, is... because we've recorded these all at the same time, surprise everybody. I know it, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, we do this live right when you're listening to it, but no, we've done this way ahead of time, and
we would be dead if that was
right.
True.
So, I think the other day I was listening to was Gethsemane, and then I recorded Redux and Redux 2 with Clara, and it was a funny little juxtaposition because I think Carl ended his pod watch with, let's hope the next people who are recording like this episode a little bit better than we have. And then I was, you know, I love this episode. So I think that's happened a couple of different times throughout with different people. So that's been really fun to, you know, hear that and get everyone's differing opinions and, revisit some of the episodes that I felt like didn't really connect with very much, and then listen to the other people talk about it and realize, hey, maybe I need to go watch this again and get a fresh perspective on it. So yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, that's true. I think the going back and revisiting certain episodes after you listen to what people say, I think, is one of the most fun things about this whole thing. You know, and I've got to take my hat off to anyone who, especially in the last few weeks as we record this, has managed to keep up with the pace. You know, and there are a few people on Twitter who have, you know, the people who regularly talk to us, you know, on Twitter and Facebook. You know, a few of them have been keeping up, I think, as best they can. I mean, that in itself is a challenge. I mean, I thought two episodes a day was hard enough, but four. You know, if anyone has actually managed to watch four episodes of The X-Files and then listen to our podcast a day, then hats off to you, really. But it's, I think the whole process of going through something like this and actually in quite a short span of time tracking the entire season in the run up to, you know, what could be the last season of X-Files, let's hope not, but I think it allows you to get a bit of a fresh perspective on, you know, certain episodes that you probably haven't watched in years. I mean, some of these season 9 ones that I did with Darren, it's been years. Daemonicus, who watches Daemonicus? You know, I don't think I'd seen that since like 2001 or whatever. So I think that's been one of the most fun aspects, really.
Yeah, can I just jump in there, Tony? Because I think what I'd add, and just as the people like we record with can make us see things in a new light, like so can the listeners as well, because people have been coming back with some great comments, haven't they? So, it's just really fun, like all around, you know.
It's fun to get the comments on Twitter because, you put the episodes out and over here in America, we're a little bit behind, so I'll wake up to all the comments. And I'm like, why is my Twitter blowing up? Oh, right. And, you know, having recorded these before, it's been, some of these have been months since I've talked about these episodes. And they're like, oh, I liked what you said here. And I was like, did I say that? I don't even remember saying that. But okay, I'm glad you liked that. Glad it worked.
I think what's so great is that everybody obviously loves the show, but everybody comes at it from a different perspective, and nobody is overly reverent. I mean, there's always, you know, when the show has had a misstep or something, it's mentioned. It's not glossed over. You know, everybody doesn't think that the sun always shines on the X-Files. There could be problems, but you see what a great product overall that they put out, and it sort of makes you really happy and inspired that you followed this show for so long, because there's so much in it. And in doing these, you get other people's insight. Like one of the things Darren Mooney said was about how the different way different writers see evil in the world. And that made me really think about all the writers on the X-Files and how they've seen evil. And it's just something, it doesn't matter how many times you watched a certain episode, now you're getting a fresh perspective on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really great. And, you know, I will, you know, to the listeners, and some of you guys already know this, but to the listeners, quite a few of the people who were new on this Podwatch are definitely coming back for main episodes going forward. You know, people like Darren, who will be hosting a few, actually, as we go into Season 3. Chris Knowles will absolutely be back. Yeah, so some of these people who really have managed to pull out, everyone's come at this in a brilliant way and in a really fresh and inventive way. But those two especially, I think, really managed to pull out things that we didn't know or we weren't thinking about, you know. And it's no coincidence that some of our highest rated Podwatch episodes have actually been Darren and Chris, or one of the two, because they do really manage to get under the skin and really make you come up with, you know, ideas and things that you don't always imagine when you're watching the show, you know, whatever perspective you're coming from. So it's been really thrilling to listen to those kind of insights. You're absolutely right there. I agree.
Yeah, and what's great, like, I haven't recorded with Darren, but he's always great to listen to. But, like, I recorded quite a bit with Chris over the summer, and he's got a real knack for taking an episode like Lazarus, which I thought was quite good, but I'd never really given it much thought. But he sort of had a great, you know, way of like contextualizing something like that and making you see it in a new light, you know. And he did that repeatedly with episodes like All Souls, for example, that again, most people don't regard particularly highly, but he sees stuff in there that other people don't. So I mean, I enjoyed recording with everyone, but I think I've probably recorded the most like with Chris as an individual. So it was great to get him on and get his perspective, because it was you know, very idiosyncratic and really worth listening to.
There is, of course, also the story that a lot of people won't know about the mega episode that Chris and Darren recorded for I think it was Hellbound and Provenance of all episodes in season 9, and they recorded like an hour and a half of discussion.
Oh my gosh.
There is a lost like 50-60 minutes of discussion that Carl has listened to. Carl's the only one who's listened to it, he edited the episode. That I'm determined we're going to get out there at some point as like a bonus. Yeah.
So that would be
great. It was funny how you sent that one over to me to edit, Tony.
I know. Who knew? Why? I mean, not that that was a plan or anything. But yeah, it's just been a really, really enjoyable experience. It's been a logistically complicated one, to say the least, I think, over the last 6 months, because this has been going for 6 months. We recorded the last couple of actual pod watches, I did, with Darren, just a few days ago. So this has pretty much ran from June to December in terms of recording. And it's taken 6 months of planning, of me badgering people, of lots of messages, lots of back and forth, lots of people taking time out of their schedules to do this.
How many people actually did the pod watch? I never counted.
Well, again, because I'm rubbish and I haven't put any statistics together, I don't know. But let me try and reel off as many names as I can as people to thank, actually, of people who guessed it. So jump in if I miss anybody. So obviously we've got me, you, Carl, Sarah. So I'm going to try and think from the very early on. So Chris Knowles, obviously. Darren Mooney, Andrew Brooker, Zach Moore, Brandon Shea Metella, Clara Cook, Keith R.A. DeCandido, Clarence Moy, Amy Walker, Andrew Blaker, Tanya Hernandez, Baz Greenland.
Denton Tipton did one.
Denton Tipton, absolutely. A great one with you, Sarah, from IDW Publishing. Great guy, Denton. So that was really good to get him on.
He's so nice.
He's lovely, yeah. Raj Sisodia, who's somebody Chris Knowles put us in touch with and did a couple with you, Carl. He was really good. He was great, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was great. Great talking to him, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
absolutely. Russ Hugo, Lauren Forey, and... is that it? Is that everybody? I'm sure I've missed a couple of people there, possibly. People who maybe came on and did just one or two, or did the occasional one.
If anyone's been missed out, Tony obviously doesn't value your contribution highly.
No.
please get in touch at Tony Black.
Yeah, please. Yeah, please contact me and shout at me and say, but I gave up my time too. So I'm really sorry if I've missed you out there. But no, everybody who guessed it on this, I think we must have had around like 15 to 20 different podcasters over this as a combination, which is pretty phenomenal. It's pretty much almost everybody who has guested on the XCast over time came back for this. And as I say, there will be people who will guest in the future again or for the first time fully on the show who will be back on. So, you know, it was really good in that sense to get a really broad spectrum of voices. And I think the listeners enjoyed it too. You know, we did get some feedback. I put a call out there on Twitter and Facebook for people to... tell us what they thought about the Podwatch. So I'm going to read out some of the responses. On Twitter, we had Reynard Muldrake, at R. Muldrake, who's a great guy, who said, are you going to do a spin-off, Sarah, called Sarah Does Karaoke? or an episode where Deep Throat is impersonated throughout, which goes back to Zach's brilliant Mr. Mulder impersonation.
That's all we need. We just need Zach saying Mr. Mulder and
Mr. Mulder.
Me singing throughout. And
well, you're singing.
Do that as a bonus episode.
I think we promised him that.
I think only one person wants to listen to that. So.
I'm not sure about that.
I would totally listen to that.
There you go.
Yeah, Reynard's been very good, hasn't he? Because he's been keeping up well, and he's been like apologising when he's fallen behind too. So
he has, and he's also been doing the, and this was pretty much alongside the Podwatch, but he's been doing his own five tweets of X, which is based on our five questions of X, which is
that's really a lot of fun.
Yeah, and those have been really good. So keep that up, Reynard. It's been brilliant. Geeky Blinders podcast at Geeky Blinders, which is Nathan Drake, who's another great guy. He said, I may have missed it, so apologies if so, but I listen every day, and every day I wait for someone to do a Deep Throat impression at the end with Trust No One. So that's... But, he's been really good as well. MK at J Mars Bars. She's great. She's another one who's regularly talking to us on Twitter. She says, I've absolutely been loving this. I'm so happy you all put this together. I seriously love everyone, and it's hard to pick a favourite. Darren Mooney and Chris Knowles have a wealth of BTS knowledge. Zach Moore cracks me up. Clara and Sarah are so much fun to listen to. So there you go. MSR, she put in.
Aww, thanks.
Yeah. Kathy G, at Catherine Glynn's too. Kathy's been one of our biggest supporters for ages now, since pretty much the beginning. Yep. We love Kathy.
Kathy.
She said, I'm blown away by Chris's knowledge. I learn something new from him every time. And I love his love of the hard to love episodes. That's a nice way of putting it, actually. Which is what you essentially said, Carl, there.
Definitely.
He and Carl make a great team, so well done.
Thank you.
Darren's enthusiasm is infectious. That's true. Darren is always very enthusiastic about, you know, most of the episodes, even the dodgy ones. Tony is always entertaining.
Well, thank you.
Mainly because I just come on and do crap impressions and let everyone else come up with the really good insights. Yeah. And Clara and Sarah have my shipper heart. There you go. I think this one of my favourites is from Brandon, Brandon Chamatello, who came on. He said, because Brandon is, bless him, gloriously modest, I think the best duo was Brandon Metella and Moore and Zach Moore. They are amazing and super handsome too. They really enhanced my appreciation of one of the best season one episodes, Shapes. Do you have a medal that you could give them? I think they deserve a medal. Or cookies. So brilliant.
Or a cookie shaped like a medal.
Yeah, there you go. Or shaped like a werewolf, because he loves shapes that much. That is a continuing running gag on this podcast. Brandon's bizarre, weird love of one of the worst episodes of the show. Bless him. And finally on Twitter, Christian Villacorte, I hope I've pronounced that correctly, Christian, sorry, at XTNMD, can't pick any favourite single podcast to team up, since I sincerely enjoy listening to the discussions every day. The podcasts have been my constant companion in the car or in my commutes here in Manila. Kudos to Carl Sweeney and the rest of the XCast team. Great job, y'all.
Thanks. So, thank you, Christian.
Thanks, y'all.
You see, you've done so many now, Carl.
That's amazing.
You've done so many now, Carl. It's Carl and the rest of the team. This is it. I'm not surprised.
Wow. Don't worry. Normal service will be resumed, Tanya, when it was season 11, because you'll be all over that, won't you?
Yeah. Carl's silent coup is paying off here. that was great. And on Facebook, we had a couple of responses. Somebody called Paige Schechter. Who's that?
Huh. I wonder who that is. I've never heard of her.
Me neither. She said it's so hard to pick. All the teams have done such a good job and click so well together. Thanks, Paige. Which is essentially what you've said today. And Jeremy Daniels said, well, I prefer some guests to others. I've really appreciated the diverse points of view from a pretty well-rounded group. I want to know, Jeremy, who do you prefer? See, I should have asked him that. She said, just give us a bit more detail. But no, it's there's a lot of people on Facebook, I think, are more watchers than talkers, let's put it that way. So that's fine. We get more general chatter on Twitter, I suppose, for these kind of things, which is great. I'm happy either way. So some lovely feedback. Thank you if you've fed back. And thank you if you've taken the time to stick with us for this, because it's been really great to do it, much as it's been extremely long and complicated, and one day I'm going to look back and go, what the hell was I doing trying to put all this together? But it's all work, because it's a great team of people and podcasters and a great little community with the XCast. So thank you to everybody. It's been a ride. It's been real
fun.
Thank
you, Tony.
Yes, thanks, Tony.
Thanks, Tony,
and thanks everyone listening.
Thank you. It's really nice. But I don't think we'll do another one of these again if we get a season 12. But we do have I think that would kill us all. But we do have something that will be a little bit similar. I will tease people with that. I'm not going to tell everyone what it is, but we've got something in the pipeline that isn't immediate, but is coming one day, that's a little bit similar. So that's a cryptic tease. But we'll talk more about that as time goes on. Yes. So, before we go, let's have a quick chat about season 11. Because obviously, to people now listening on January the 2nd, they are at fever pitch of excitement. Because tomorrow, is it My Struggle 3? Or do we know that yet?
It sounds like it is, doesn't it? Unless it's a working title. But yeah, I think that's a good shout, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so My Struggle 3, or whatever it ends up being called, is premiering tomorrow. Now, this is the thing, you may already know, guys, what the title is for Definite. You probably do know it by now, because you're a few weeks ahead of us. So we're going on information at the end of... They're close to finishing filming, I think, now. So we're sort of at the end of the filming process, so you'll get more information trickle out through December, I imagine, before the premiere. But as we stand, we're a month away. So, how does everyone feel? Paige, how do you feel about season 11 about to kick off?
Oh, how do I feel about always going first?
Sorry.
Well, let me just say, first of all, I'm, of course, optimistic. It's wonderful to hear that not only are we getting more episodes, but we're getting more than we got in season 10. And for all its faults, I am very cautiously optimistic about season 11. But I'm particularly looking forward to the new Darren Morgan, and especially after Chris Carter made a point to say how strong he thinks the new Darren Morgan episode is. So it might even be stronger. This might be a landmark episode, which is hard. You know, we've had these episodes for so long, and it's hard for them to crack into our favorites, but I think this one has a shot in mind. I'm really looking forward to it.
I think the fact we're getting another one is brilliant, but yeah, that is really exciting to hear. Sarah, what about you?
I don't think you need any guesses at all to know what I'm looking forward to.
Could it begin with S, maybe?
Maybe. Episode 6, Skinner. More Skinner. I've seen lots more Skinner in the previews, and he's getting his own episode. I'm so excited for that.
I think they've responded, haven't they, to this, because one of the big complaints for season 10 was that there was barely any Skinner. And I think they've really gone away and thought, do you know what? Yeah, he is one of the best characters. Mitch Pileggi's awesome. What are we doing?
I don't know why they had to think about that, but okay.
Well, I know.
It's true. Old,
yeah. I'm a little bit nervous that having the episodes, part of it, at least in the past, we're not going to get a whole lot of Mitch Pileggi out of that, but we'll see.
Yeah, because the rumor was that Haley Joel Osment was going to play a younger version of Skinner, because he's in that episode. But I think that's been sort of semi-debunked now, mainly because I can't see that as casting anyway, really.
Right.
But yeah, we're going to get a younger Skinner. So keep your fingers crossed, Sarah. I'm sure it'll be, you know, and younger Skinner may just be as, you know, easy on the eyes for you as Mitch. You know, you never know.
But I love the character of Skinner too. So, I mean, any backstory or any kind of side information I can get on that character, I just love, you know, I'm so intrigued by his character, because you don't get a lot of him other than just insinuated things. So he's always been one of the most enigmatic. I mean, everybody says Scully is enigmatic, but I think Skinner is more enigmatic than, you know.
Yeah, I think so. Do you reckon we'll see Sharon?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
What happened to Sharon?
Exactly.
That's an Unsolved Mysteries episode right there.
Yeah. What happened to Sharon? Yeah, I want to see Sharon again. Yeah, a younger Sharon. Or an older
Sharon. She's trying on red coats at different stores.
Yeah, for the last 20 years. Carl, what about you then? What are you most excited about for season 11?
Well, what I'm hoping for is that it holds together well, like, as a season, you know, because I think it's almost a given that we'll get some good episodes, maybe even great ones, but I just hope there's a real nice flow to the whole thing, which I didn't think there was with season 10, particularly. I'm also hoping the actors find their A-game, really. They didn't always convince me, to be honest, last time round, but again, they got a bit more time to really get back into the swing of things here, so hoping for stronger showings from the main actors. And finally, I mean, I really hope they really exploit the Vancouver locations well this time, because I think last time around they were filming kind of in the summer or something, and I didn't think they always consistently had a nice, like, aesthetic. But this time they're filming longer and later, so I'm hoping we get some of that, you know, distinctive Vancouver atmosphere this time around too.
It's interesting you should say that about the about them not really being on their game as well. Is in that I think Chris Carter's come out and essentially said recently that there was a level of them trying to get their groove back in the last season, that it was almost like dipping their toe back in the water, and that he feels that right from the off that it's more akin to what we had before, because I think that is right. You know, there's many apologists for season 10 and everything like that. You got loads of people who say it was great, it was really good, but the honest truth is it didn't always feel like the show we remember in some ways. So if that's the case, that it's going back a little bit and they've gotten much more into their groove in terms of how they're writing it and how they're performing it, then that's no bad thing. And the filming in winter as well might help the Vancouver setting. You know, I imagine you might get more rain. I mean, I saw a set picture today of Gillian Anderson, and it looked wet as anything in Vancouver. So that's great. More rain, the better. That's X-Files, let's be honest.
Yeah, and absolutely. As a fan, coming back to revisit the show again and again has been, you know, like, I see the episodes differently and the characters differently based on where I am in my life, and I can't imagine how tough it's been for the actors and, you know, Chris Carter even, and the writers to come back and revisit these characters after so long away, because, you know, essentially they thought, like, we're leaving this behind and we're moving on with our lives. We're doing other things, working on other projects. And now to come back to it, I can see why they had the growing pains with season 10, because trying to step back into those roles after so long has got to be tough. Even though it's something that you've done for so long, you're so familiar with, so much has happened in between that time that, you know, I can see why it's been a little bit tough. So I think season 11 will be better, like Chris Carter said, that they've gotten back into their groove and it'd probably be a little bit easier to get back into those shoes again.
For me, I'm most excited to see what happens with William as well. Mm-hmm. Because there's strong suggestions that William's going to factor in, especially after the cliffhanger of My Struggle 2 as well this season. And obviously right now he'll be around 16, 17 years old, so he's at an age where he can be properly performed by a young person, and he can be a very interesting character, and how he features into what we're going to get of the mythology, which sounds like it's not going to be as much as we might have thought or some might have hoped. You know, certainly episodes 1 and 10 of the season are going to be mythology, and then certain elements sprinkled in and out, I think, but I'm interested to see how they play, you know, who is essentially, you know, some kind of alien super god child. You know, how they're gonna do that is really, I'm really wondering how they're gonna go, and how are they gonna get out of the Maestro 2 finale as well? How the hell are they getting back to the status quo after like a devastating virus starts to wipe out humanity and a UFO turns up in Washington? How are they getting out of that? That's what I want to know.
Leave it to Chris Carter to just erase all that and act like it never happened.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, well, time will tell. But I think with the William thing, that is, I'm optimistic about that sort of giving the season a bit of like a backbone. And that even if, you know, there isn't that much mythology or whatever, but maybe the search for William will kind of carry through and somewhat like the search for Mulder in season 8. So I'm cautiously optimistic about the William storyline. I think the casting of that role is key. And that's a really big call, isn't it? I mean, that'd be very easy to get wrong, I think. But I've got no idea about how the specifics are going to work out, and I'm happy just to see what they come up with. But I think there's definitely potential there. I like the way the William stuff kind of was seeded throughout season 10, actually. I know some people wanted it to be all William from the get-go, but I think now's the right time to like really go for it on that one.
I won't mind if Miller and Einstein sort of get wiped under the Chris Carter carpet, because I found them, frankly, insulting to, you know, try and build another Mulder and Scully in the same kind of mold and shove it down our throats. And also, redemption for Monica Reyes, she does not behave that way. And as one of the minority groups of fans of the final two regular seasons, 8 and 9, I was just so upset by her, by the way her character was presented more than anything else in season 10. And so I'm hoping we get some logic and reasoning and maybe a little dogging.
Oh, if that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? That's what I'm secretly hoping for, that they've managed to keep that a surprise, you know, and that maybe they've got Doggett in there at some point. That'd be brilliant. Just as a little payoff, because he deserves a payoff. You know, he really does. I love Doggett. I've talked about this in the Pod Watch itself that Doggett's great, and he's, you know, he really is, especially in season 8. So it would be great to see him back. And yeah, if it helps undo the really weird Monica Reyes decision, then, you know, all for the better, because that was one of the strangest and most miscalculated things I think Chris Carter has ever done, even more than Babylon. You know. So please let us not have another one of them as well. Please, Chris, please don't give us another Babylon, for the love of God. But yeah, there you go.
So babbling on.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. So, okay, I suppose my final question, and a sort of, you know, good way to round off the entire Podwatch, really, is to ask you all whether you think this is the end now, whether you think this is it. You know, is season 11 the finale to the whole thing? You know, the X-Files is notorious for having, you know, an ending and then having something else and then having an ending and having something else. But, you know, certainly a lot of what Gillian Anderson's been saying is that this is it. She's done after this. She's not doing it again. So is this the final hurrah for good?
Well, Scully is immortal, so...
So it never ends.
Never.
Right, well, I think it may well be the last, you know, regular season that, as we would think of it, you know, Duchovny and Anderson. Time will tell. I don't think it'll be the last we ever see of the X-Files in, you know, on television. I think eventually, given a certain amount of time, there'll be some kind of remake, reboot, whatever. Mm. I just don't think it will lay dormant for that long overall. But it might be the last Chris Carter, Duchovny, Anderson series. But I don't know. I'd make a prediction that this will end up being a much stronger season than season 10. But I also, I've got a feeling the audience won't show up in quite the same way as before. So, But personally, I'll be happy with that. If it's a stronger season, that's all I care about, really.
I agree. I think this will be it for that main X-Files crew as we know them. I've always said that this show can go on with different characters, and that's why I like season 8 and 9 so much. The fan base has to be there to do it, but I think they'll be able to reboot this easily as long as it's not with Miller and Einstein.
Well, you know, oddly enough, Paige, I think that's more got a better chance of happening in this day and age than it did before, actually, because you've now got, back then, the devotion to the characters of Mulder and Scully was so powerful, and I know it still is in many ways, but you've got an entire new audience, really, now, a new generation of potential fans who aren't going to be as invested in that romance and that story as we were when we were, like, you know, 19, 20 years old or whatever, you know, or even younger than that. So I think if there's ever an opportunity to actually do what they tried to do with Doggett and Reyes and they just could not do because the audience didn't want it, I think you could do that now, in theory. Get younger agents in, reboot it, have a different kind of dynamic, whether you had two women, whether you had two men, whether you had a whole team. I'd love to see it become like a proper sort of mini department and have a group of agents working under like a special agent in charge or whatever, and do it differently, you know, come at it from a different angle. There's no reason why the property can't survive, you know, Mulder and Scully. And who knows, you know, you could do it like they do with certain other big franchises, you know, like Star Trek and things like that, where you have some of the original characters still around, but they pop up, like Mulder and Scully could be, you know, recurring guest stars, or they could pop up once a season and, you know, you could have them come in as a special event, you know, who knows? They could do it they don't have to reboot the mythology. They could do the same mythology. They could just have it, you know, the next generation almost, yeah. If you see what I mean. There's no reason. I think this day and age, it's more doable than that back then.
You could just have a show about Skinner.
Yeah, I was waiting on that. I was waiting for the countdown into Sarah saying, yeah, all these new agents can report to Skinner.
Yeah. I mean,
why not? Makes sense. Mitch Pileggi would do it in a heartbeat, probably, as a season regular. Yeah, why not?
And
he's,
that was
he's getting close to retirement age, though, isn't he? Yeah.
It's true.
Just like Scully is immortal, Skinner will never retire from the FBI.
That will bring in an element of the first show fan base. You know, maybe not every single person, but just like judging by season 10 premiere at New York Comic Con a few years back, the biggest applause was for Mitch. Seeing his name in the credits, and he's a viable entity that can help a reboot move forward. So I'm voting with Sarah.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with what Tony said, because I think the thing is that if people say, well, they tried it in season 9 and it didn't work, but you need to go back and look at season 9, because the problems with season 9 really are Scully and Mulder, to be honest.
Yeah.
Mulder's not there, but he's kind of haunting proceedings, and Scully's there and doesn't really convince. So they never did really that much Doggett and Reyes stuff, and the stuff they did do was pretty good. So I agree with Tony. I think there's life in the sort of... the franchise, for want of a better word, it would shed some old fans, but it would have the potential to bring in new ones. But as to when it'll happen and what form it'll take, who knows?
Well, yeah, this is it. Something tells me, though, that Fox isn't going to want to give up, you know, and put to bed forever a property like this, a global recognized brand, one of the most popular TV series in history. It's not going to go away forever. So. If this is the final, you know, go around fully for Mulder and Scully, then let's hope it's a good one. And we'll find out, because it premieres for you tomorrow. It's a month away from us, and we're going to be doing, like we did a couple of years ago with Season 10, we're going to be doing weekly coverage over a collection of little podcasts. So much like the Podwatch, you're going to get 3 or 4 episodes a week covering different aspects of each episode for the 10 weeks or however long it is. It might be a double premiere. We don't know yet. It could be like last time where you get episodes 1 and 2 together. We're not quite sure, but yeah, we're gonna figure it out anyway. So we're gonna have a rotating span of guests. Carl and Sarah, you two will both be on the season 11 episodes. Yep. Which is exciting.
Yes.
Really looking forward to it.
Yeah. It'll be no surprise to anyone that Sarah's doing the Skinner episode with me, so yeah, that'll be fun. I'll just spend an entire hour with Sarah going, oh my god, it's Skinner. But yeah, that's basically what it's going to be.
Accurate.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, that's coming very soon, guys. The first of those episodes will be with you in the next couple of days from where you are. So yeah, we can't wait. We're so excited. Season 11 is nearly here. So yeah, thanks then, guys. Thanks for coming on for the final XCast Pod Watch and joining me for this. It's been great to do this, and it's been great to have you on to have this little chat. So before we go, let's go around the room, as it were, and everyone can say where they can find you going forward if they want more. So Carl, why don't you start?
Okay, so people can find me on Twitter at csweeney758, and I'd just like to say thanks again to everyone who's listened to the Podwatch and got in touch. It's always great to hear from you.
Brilliant, thank you. Paige?
I do an X-Files rewatch blog with my sister called And Now Sibling Cinema. It's at Blogger, so you can find it there, or you could just click my link at max_tunage at Twitter. And I'm always in the X-Files XCast basement on Facebook.
Yeah, and a little endorsement for that blog, because it's great. What Paige is doing with her sister is really good. You know, all the episode breakdowns are excellent reading. So check that out, guys. We tend to share the majority of them on the XCast pages and things like that. So keep your eyes out for them, because it's great reading.
Thank you.
Sarah, how about you?
I'm on Twitter a lot. Sarah, SARAHLBLAIR. That's where you can find me, or just check out my website, sarahlblair.com.
How's the new book coming, Sarah?
It's coming. Yeah, so I've got a book out, Darkness Shifting, and it's kind of my own sort of personal take on King Arthur plus X-Files. That's how it came out, so yeah, it's a fun read, I think.
It is. I haven't read all of it yet. I have read some of it, because I keep promising Sarah that I'll do a review of it somewhere, but I know.
I bet you just, you know, keep rereading chapter 15.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a great book, so yeah, keep your eyes on Sarah's Twitter for all the updates on the new one, on the next book, which will be here possibly before
soon.
Season 12 of the X-Files, but we'll see.
Oh yeah. I can safely assure that.
Okay, and you can find me personally at AJ, at AJ Black Writer on Twitter, and the XCast at the X_cast, or on Facebook at the XCast Basement, which Paige mentioned, which is our central hub for lots of chatter, so do join us. So yeah, this is it, the end of the Podwatch. Thank you so much for listening and helping us get some amazing download statistics, which I shared in on Facebook and Twitter recently, about a month ago for you guys. But it's been incredible. The amount of listenership has been incredible. The amount of feedback has been incredible. Keep it coming. We're going into season 11, and then into 2018. We've got so much coming beyond season 11 coverage. We've got season 3 full hour to more long episodes with a great bunch of guests, some of whom you've heard over the last couple of months, some of whom are new, some of whom are coming back. So yeah, and then later on in 2018 we'll also be, or early 2019, we'll also be starting our Millennium podcast spin-off, The Time Is Now. So that's coming as well. Yeah. because I don't have enough to
do.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's going to be... that Paige is especially excited by this.
You can tell. I am a millennium-aholic. Or I'm millennium-mystic. I'm millennium-mystic is what I should have really said.
Right. You're definitely coming on as a guest then. Absolutely. I'm getting you involved in that, Paige.
Excellent.
Yes, excellent is basically what we'll end this on. So yes, guys, thank you again, and for the final time until season 11, remember, trust no one, Mr. Mulder.